week of prayer. What is on your heart? What are the main things that you would like us to bring before the throne of God? The things that we should be asking for our town and for our nation at this time. What are the things that are on your heart? And the passage from Ezekiel 47 came through at one of the elders' meetings, and we really felt that this was a word in season for this time, not just in Hope Church, but for Corby. And so this morning we're going to be looking at Ezekiel 47 from verse 1 through to verse 12. And it's about the river of God that flows from the temple of God. This is a vision that Ezekiel had. He was a prophet in the Old Testament. We'll read those verses together in a moment. But we, as a church, we really believe that God's doing something new. I sense it in my spirit. I went into the Hope Center this week, and Adam wasn't there anymore, and the food bank wasn't there anymore, and I felt sad. Because I miss my brother, and it's going to be weird him not being around. But at the same time, I've got this extraordinary sense that God is just doing something new. In fact, I'm just going to pause and pray for Adam, if that's all right. He'll be preaching his first sermon at his new church today. Father, we love Adam and Ruth and the kids, Lord God, and we pray that today your hand will just be powerfully upon them. Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, as they root themselves into a new situation, Lord God, that they will thrive where you have planted them. In Jesus' name, amen. So, in this season, we don't want to just try harder at the things that we've been doing. We want to ride the wave of what the Holy Spirit is doing. And we are prepared if he tells us to lay some things down. And we are prepared if he tells us to pick some things up. We're prepared if he tells us to step out of our comfort zones and do things that we that humanly aren't possible for his glory. And we're going to see more of that sort of stuff happening, because we believe that our resources, when they come to an end, just provide an opportunity for God to show his glory. Amen. I've got some big news to share with you next week, by the way, in relation to an answered prayer. So let's read together from Ezekiel 47 from verse 1. These words will be up on the screen if you haven't brought a Bible with you. So the man brought me back to the entrance to the temple. This was a vision that Ezekiel had. And I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out through the north gate, and he led me around the outside to the outer gate facing east. And the water was trickling from the south side. And the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, and he measured off 1,000 cubits. That's like 450 meters, 457 meters to be precise. He measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through water that was ankle deep. He measured off another 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee deep. He measured off another 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist. He measured off another 1,000. But now it was a river that I could not cross, because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim, a river that no one could cross. And he asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on either side of the river. He said to me, "This water flows towards the eastern region, and then it goes down into the Arabah where it enters the Dead Sea. When it empties into the sea, the salty water becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish, because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore of the Dead Sea from En Gedi to En Engleim, and there will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the Mediterranean Sea, but the swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. And their fruit will serve for food, their leaves for healing." Amen. I get excited even just reading those words. Let's just pray. Father, thank you for your word. Help us to understand today what is on your heart. What was on your heart then, what your heart prophetically is for now through these words. And we pray, Lord God, that our hearts will be stirred so that faith will rise in our midst this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I don't know how you feel when you read those words, but I understand the temple to be the place where God has ordained his presence to be found. And we know that his presence fills the whole earth, don't we? We know that every place that we go, he is there. Even more so if we're a Christian, because we have his presence living in us. But there was a place on the earth that he ordained for his worship. And in the center of the complex of buildings and courtyards that were part of the temple was the Holy of Holies, the most holy place where his manifest presence was found. And Ezekiel had a vision of a temple. It was a vision of an actual physical temple, and from the innermost parts of this temple, the most holy place, past the altar, flowed this river. A river that was at first a trickle, which then became deeper and deeper and deeper until it flowed like a torrent into a place of death and brought life. Now, this is a prophetic picture. And I believe, you know, there are lots of people who interpret this passage in many different ways. I believe the fulfillment of this passage is in our day. I believe that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost and the last days that we now live in are the fulfillment of these words. And there's a future fulfillment coming as well. And I'll read some passages from Revelation in a little while. But here's the thing. We had a temple built by Herod, which was destroyed in around AD 70. It has not since been rebuilt. But the Bible in the New Testament declares that the temple does still exist. Where is the temple now? We are the temple. And I'm going to show you some scriptures also up here on the screen. So John 7 says this. So this is when Jesus was at one of the great festivals, and on the last and the greatest day of the festival, he stood up and he said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me," Jesus said, "as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 says this, Do you not know that your bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? If you are a Christian here today, your spirit, which was dead because of sin, has now been made alive in Christ, and the Holy Spirit of God now lives in the temple of your body. You are a triune being, spirit, soul, and body. And now the presence of Almighty God through his Holy Spirit dwells in your spirit and is sanctifying your soul. And so we are the temples individually of the Holy Spirit. But look at this, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. "Do you not know that you, corporately, as the church, you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst?" So although we don't have a physical temple anymore, there isn't a place geographically where we can go and experience the manifest presence of God, yet the manifest presence of God is on the earth in the temple of his children individually and corporately as we gather as the church. There is a wonderful reality to that. So the presence of God through the Holy Spirit is pictured both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament as water. And when Jesus stood at the festival and he said, "Listen, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." What he meant was that one day, those who call on the name of the Lord would be filled with his Spirit and his presence, and from their innermost being would flow these rivers of living water. And so this morning, child of God, Is the river flowing in your life? Is the life-giving river of God flowing from your life? And if we look at this picture of the Holy Spirit flowing, this river of life flowing from the temple, there's a few things I want us to notice. Let's go back up to the scripture in Ezekiel 47. The man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and he says, and I saw under the water coming out from under the threshold of the temple. We've got a picture of the temple up here, just so that you can picture what's going on here. So right from the Holy of Holies, which is the piece right in the center, this is a recreation of the vision that Ezekiel had. We don't know exactly that it looked like this, but this is what they think it might have looked like. And in the center there, you can see the altar. And so on the south side of the altar, this river began to flow, and it flowed under the threshold of the temple and out as a trickle to begin with, and to the east. It says, this man, we don't know who this man was, brought Ezekiel out through the north gate and led me round. So the north gate is at the top, led him round to the other gate at the front where the east is, led me round outside the outer gate facing east, and the water was trickling from the south side, and the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hands, and he measured off 1,000 cubits. 1,000 cubits is precisely 457.2 meters. And just so you can get a sense of scale, there's some pictures here of buildings, and on the left hand side you'll see the Empire State Building, which is 448 meters. Next to it is the Petronas Towers in Kuala Lumpur, 452, almost exactly 1,000 cubits. That's how long this measuring line was that the man had as he measured off these different depths. So he measured off another 1,000 cubits, he said, and led me through water that was knee deep. When I was a child, I learned to swim in Corby Swimming Pool. And at the time, Corby Swimming Pool had, it wasn't as long as it is now, it had a shallow end and a deep end, the 11'6". And so in the shallow end, I could stand, and it was, you know, it was only as little, but it was only up to about here. And, you know, I used to wear my swimming goggles, and my dad would float me in the water, and I'd kick my legs, and it was safe in the shallow end. But the great thing is, when I became proficient as a swimmer, I didn't want to stay in the shallow end. I wanted to go into the deep end. And I used to love to be out of my depth. In fact, I love to dive to the bottom and splash around in the deep end. And the thing is, with the Holy Spirit, we can splash around in the shallow end. And there's an invitation to step into all of the fullness of God. But sometimes, as Christians, we enter into the shallow end. But there's the invitation then to go deeper and deeper and deeper. Let me say this about the ocean. The ocean is full of water to the horizon, and it's as deep as, you know, it's so deep, and it's so wide and so vast. In fact, I looked on a globe the other day at the Pacific Ocean, and it almost took up one entire side of the globe. The ocean is vast, but what happens if you put a cup into the ocean? The substance of the whole ocean is in that cup. It's no different from the whole ocean. It's a cup full of what's in the whole ocean. And you know, I think about my life as a Christian like this, right? When I was a kid, I used to do discus throwing. So I used to be at school. This is one thing I was good at. So discus throwing. So I'd be in the discus circle, and it's all of this, you know, all of this. And then you kind of do the footwork and whoosh, like that. So I used to be pretty good at that. I used to compete for my school. And I wasn't, you know, it wasn't the best, but I had this VHS video that I taped off the telly of a discus thrower at the Olympics, and he was amazing. So I put the videotape in, and I'd watch it over and over again, and I'd try and copy what the discus thrower was doing, because I wanted to become a better discus thrower. And so I would imitate this discus thrower. But the thing is, here's the thing, when I did discus, I wasn't Olympic standard. Even though I copied and imitated the discus thrower from the Olympics, I wasn't Olympic standard. But what if the Olympian, the Olympic discus thrower, could somehow live inside me and could control my movements? And so when I did discus, it was no longer me imitating him, it was him doing discus through me. That's what the Holy Spirit does. No longer do we just imitate God. No longer do we just try hard at being good. No longer do we try and be moral people by our own standards. Now we have the Holy Spirit of God, God's presence himself living in us, so that he can live his life through us. Hallelujah. that is so awesome, but there's a shallow end as we step into the things of God. And then there's a deepening of our relationship, our understanding, our experience of God through the Holy Spirit. And this morning, I believe as a church, God's inviting us to go deeper. Do you want to go deeper this morning? There's more of Him. There's more. Are you satisfied with everything you've experienced of Him so far? Are you satisfied to stay where you are and the experiences, even the miracles that you've seen, to be all that you see? There's so much more of Him to know and to be had and to experience. There's so much more of God that we can know. And this morning, God is inviting us to step into the depths. Some of us today are ankle deep. Some of us are knee deep. Some of us are waist deep. Hallelujah. We praise God for all of those stages. But there's an invitation to go even deeper. And let me just say this. It wasn't until Ezekiel was out of his depth and back on the bank and looking at the scene before him that he saw the trees on either side of the river, and he saw the torrent going into the Dead Sea and life breaking out. And when the river ran into the Dead Sea, now the Dead Sea, oh, I'm going ahead of myself. Sorry, let me show you some pictures of the different stages. So some of us are at ankle depth, some of us are at knee depth, and some of us at waist depth. Some of us are out of our depth in God. When we're out of our depth, we're no longer in control. When we're out of our depth, we have to rely on the water to carry us. Wow. Who wants to be out of their depth in the Holy Spirit this morning? Do you trust Him? Do you trust Him to be out of your depth in Him? And then he asked me, "Son of man, do you see this? Do you perceive this? Do you understand what's going on?" In 1 Peter, there's this really interesting place where Peter says, even the prophets in the Old Testament, they were looking ahead and they were trying to understand these things, but it's only in Christ that these things make sense. But the prophets understood that they weren't serving themselves, they were serving you. And so even the Ezekiel, as he looked at this picture, as he surveyed this scene, he probably didn't understand the fullness of it. But today, as we look back and see the fulfillment of the prophecies made in the Old Testament and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, and the experiences we've already had, we understand that we are living in the days that were prophesied, and the fullness of this picture is ours to experience. He said, then the man led him back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, this water flows towards the eastern region. Let's have a look at this map up here. So the temple in Jerusalem, where the vision was taking place, was over here. The Dead Sea was here. Araba was a region just above the Dead Sea. It's desert, it's wilderness. And it says that this water flowed towards eastwards towards the Araba region, and where it enters the Dead Sea. And there's a picture here of the Dead Sea as well. The Dead Sea is one of the lowest places on earth. So it's actually lower. The water level of the Dead Sea is lower than the Mediterranean. It's the end point of the River Jordan. It's where the water flows in, but no water flows out. And so over many decades, it's become very salinated, salty. You could lie in the Dead Sea and you wouldn't sink. You could lie back and read a newspaper in the Dead Sea. You wouldn't sink. But the thing about the Dead Sea is it's completely dead. There's no life, there's no vegetation, there's no fish. Nothing can survive in the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is utterly dead. And so in this passage, it says that when the water flowed and emptied into the sea, in verse 8, the salty water became fresh. The salty water became fresh. Now, what I'm praying this year for us is that God will do a fresh thing in our midst. That He will do something fresh in our midst. And, you know, I love what God has been doing. I love the transformed lives. I love the answers to prayer. I love the miracles. I love the disciples that have been made. But there's something that's become stale. And I pray this year that what has become stale will become fresh as the Holy Spirit flows in our midst. It says that the salty water became flesh. And then listen to this, verse 9. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. Wherever the river of God flows. Wherever the Holy Spirit is, there is life. Swarms. That's abundant life. And so it says, the salt water becomes fresh. There will be swarms of living creatures, fish, just like in the Mediterranean. And fishermen. Now this is a dead sea. It says, can we go on to the next picture? If we can. Of the map, the next one. So it says, from En Gedi to En Engleam, there will be areas where people will spread their nets to catch fish, just like in the Mediterranean, which is that top part. And instead of there being death, there will be whole industries created around the catching of these living creatures. And it says there will be fruit trees of every kind that grow along both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither. These are leaves that will be there all year round. You know, in the UK at the moment, we're in winter. There are no leaves on the trees. And we go through seasons like that. But it says, these trees will not drop their leaves. These leaves will not wither. Why? Because they're being fed by the living water of this river that flows from the very presence of God. And it says that the fruit that they bear will be born all year round. And the fruit will be for food. The leaves will be for healing. Let me say this about the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. When He is present, we bear fruit. Where He is present, we bear fruit. We don't make the fruit appear in our lives. We can't make spiritual fruit appear in our lives. We need Him and His presence in our lives. When He is present in our lives, we will produce fruit. And furthermore, when He is present in our lives, He brings healing. And so I don't know, as you survey your life and the lives of those people you love, and even the town we live in and the nation at this time, whether you see areas of death, of darkness, of brokenness. I don't know if you look out and you think to yourself, there is no hope for our nation. Everything seems to be in confusion. Nobody seems to be leading us. What's the answer? And so we could say, well, we need somebody to rise up as a great politician. We need more politicians with more answers. No, we don't. What we need is the river of God to flow in our nation. Oh, but we need more police officers on the street and we need more people cracking down on crime. No, we don't. We need the river of God to flow in our nation. But there are so many broken marriages. We need more marriage courses and we need more help for marriages. No, we don't. We need the river of God to flow in our nation. What we need in this nation isn't more people with good ideas. What we need in this nation is an awakening that the Holy Spirit brings first to the church and then to the whole nation. Let's talk about revival. Let's use the word revival. Let's dare to talk about revival, because when God revives this nation, marriages will be healed. Society will be mended. Our politicians will act with integrity and real leaders with spiritual authority will rise up. We live in an age of absolute desperation, and people are groping around looking for answers that they can't find. I've got an answer. I've got an answer. Do you want to know the answer? Jesus! The world needs Him. So desperately needs Him. And so the church, that's me and you, we have this awesome responsibility. It's not a legal responsibility, but it's an awesome responsibility, and it is this: to be the people that God has called us to be, to understand the authority He's given us, and to use the resources that He's put at our disposal to see this society transformed. What are the resources that He's put at our disposal? It's not PowerPoint. It's not PA systems. It's not websites or social media. Those aren't the resources He's put at our disposal. We'll use them by God's grace for His glory. But what we need more than ever before is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with His presence, so the rivers of living water flow from within us. What we need in this church and in every church in this land is a revolution of the Holy Spirit. We need His presence. We need Him. We need Him. And so this morning, if you're ankle deep in the things of God, move to the next stage. Say, Lord, I know that I need you. I'm not content to be where I am. Father, I thank you for where I am, but I don't want to stay where I am. Father, I want to go deeper. Lord, I'm taking off my armbands today. Lord God, I'm not going to splash around in the shallows anymore. Father, I'm going to go deeper. Lord, I've done my widths, but now, Lord God, I want to do the lengths. I'm going deeper. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that I've splashed around near the edges, but Father, I'm going to jump right into the middle because I want to be out of my depth. I'm going deeper. Father, today, Lord God, Father, I've had some of you, Lord God. I've experienced some of your life. I've experienced some of your power, but I'm going deeper. Father, I've experienced some of your love and some of your provision, but today, Lord, I'm going deeper. Father, I'm going deeper and deeper and deeper. Father, thank you, Lord God, that you're inviting me to a place of fullness. And so can we go on to the next slide? And the next one, please. In Revelation, where the Bible ends, there's this picture. The angel is very similar. If you remember the man leading Ezekiel out, it says, "The angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. And on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruits, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse." Now listen, when Jesus died on the cross, the curse was broken. The punishment for those who are in Christ has been lifted because Jesus has borne the punishment for our sins. Everything the enemy tried to do to destroy us has been reversed in Christ. Where he tried to kill us, he has given us life. Where he tried to bind us up, he has brought us freedom. Now, Jesus has potentially reversed the curse in every single one of our lives. Now, we are the mechanism. We are the hope of the nations because through us, we will see God's glory being revealed. And when we walk in freedom, the world will see that Jesus sets people free. When we live in fullness, the world will see that Jesus offers fullness. But the church, historically, especially in this nation, I can't speak for any other, has been content just to attend church, just to sing the songs, just to sit in the chairs, just to read the books and just listen to the CDs. But listen, God is inviting us into much deeper experience for His presence here this morning. He has so much for each one of us. And when we walk in fullness, the world will see that He is real. Hallelujah. They will see the literal evidence of God's existence in your life. It's the Holy Spirit. It's His presence, the rivers of living water. We're going to be praying into some of these themes over the next few days in our week of prayer. But I wanted to give an opportunity during this service to pray for you today. I wonder if Garel, if you guys would come back up now. This is the heavenly reality. The Lord instructed us, invited us, commanded us to pray, "Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as in heaven." This is the reality in heaven. And so let's pray that the waters, the living waters of the Holy Spirit's presence will flow from His temple. The temple of individual Christians' lives. Let's pray that this week and this month and in 2019 that the rivers of living water will flow from our lives. Listen, the rivers of living water flowed from the most holy place to the place of death. The waters need to be released into the place of death so that the place of death can become a place of life. What are the places of death in your life? As you look at your life, what are the wilderness parts of your life? What are the parts that are parched? What are the parts where you think, well, the rivers of living water haven't brought life in all of its fullness to these parts of my life yet? What are those parts of your life? What are those parts of your family? You know, are you hopeless? Have you given up because you've come against some obstacles recently and you're thinking, well, it's much easier to give up and to be passive than to press in and ask God for the miracle? Well, today let's ask for the miracle. Where does where do the rivers of living water need to flow in your families and in your workplaces and with your neighbors? What are those places where you're crying out to God for a miracle, where we're going to ask the living waters to flow into those parts of our lives today? And our nation desperately needs a touch from heaven. And everything this nation needs is in heaven. So instead of looking for man's answers to man's problems, let's look for God's answers and God's supply and God's solutions to man's problems. Let's cry out to heaven for heaven's resources and heaven's answers as the rivers of living water flow again in our nation. So let's do some business with God right now. I wonder if you'll just stand to your feet. We're going to praise God. Just where you are, we're going to create an atmosphere of praise and worship. We're going to invite the Lord to come and invade those different parts of our lives, our communities, our land. You're feeling sleepy, are you? Wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead and Christ will shine on you. If you need to shake your body just to wake up a little bit, please feel free to do that. We're going to do some business with God. Let's not be sleepy. Let's not slumber, church. Come on, shake your head, shake your legs, shake your arms, wake yourself up. Come on. We're going deeper. We're going deeper. So let's just worship the Lord. Come on, raise your voices to Him now. Tell Him you mean business. Tell Him that in this moment, you're recommitting yourself to live in the fullness, that you're stepping out of the shallows and you're going into the depths. Lord, I need you. Come on, church, tell Him.